Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 7 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. With their new companions, the correspondents Jolivet and Blount, Michael Strogoff and Nadia Fedor completed the journey down to Ekaterinburg without further mishap. Arriving there in the early morning, they found the town astir, for it was swollen to many times its normal size by the great influx of people fleeing from the threat of Feofar Khan and his Tatar hordes. The four traveling companions made their way to the posting house, there to find a meal and fresh horses. Harry Blount was still annoyed over the matter of the driver, who had left him in the mountains.
And the fellow even had the insolence to ask me for the tip I'd promised him.
And did you pay it?
Yes. I should bring a lawsuit against the fellow.
A lawsuit in Russia? Did you never hear the story of the nurse who claimed payment for 12 months' care of a poor little infant?
No.
Then you do not know what that infant had become by the time judgment was given in favor of the nurse.
No. What had he become?
Colonel of the Imperial Guard.
You seem to have recovered from last night's discomfort. Have you managed to obtain a new vehicle?
Well, I wouldn't say it was new, but it is a carriage, a tarantass like yours.
It was not difficult to obtain. The town is full of refugees. None seem inclined to return across the steppes.
I intend to start immediately. I'm most anxious to reach Omsk. My sister and I are hurrying to rejoin our mother. If the Tatars reach Omsk before us, who knows what may happen. Therefore, I must stop at the post houses only long enough to change horses. I must travel day and night.
Well, that is exactly what we intend doing. We will be ready to begin as soon as you and your sister.
I shall meet you outside in 15 minutes exactly.
Mr. Blount, do you notice anything odd about that young man?
Several things, Monsieur Jolivet.
Do you remember how explicit he was when he insisted that he was not one to run into danger?
And how, very shortly after, he slew a huge bear with one stroke of his knife.
Precisely. And this young lady who accompanies him, would you say that he was her brother?
From the point of view of family resemblance, I would not.
There is another small matter which arouses my interest. I questioned the driver of Mr. Kopanov's tarantass. It appears on the recent trip across the mountains, the driver, naturally enough, wished to turn back. He asked Mr. Kopanov if he ordered him to continue. Mr. Kopanov did, but invoking the name of the Tsar.
That is unusual, Monsieur Jolivet.
It is, Mr. Blount.
I shall follow Mr. Kopanov's actions with an interest only second to that with which I shall watch the course of the invasion.
Mr. Blount, you have taken the words out of my mouth. Shall we join our friends?
A long night, Monsieur Jolivet. I'm glad to see the sunrise.
And I presume that we're approaching Tulugisk. We have covered more than 150 miles since we left Ekaterinburg.
The young Mr. Kopanov drives as if the devil were on his heels.
Perhaps the devil is, Mr. Blount, figuratively speaking.
Literally speaking, for all one knows of these Russians.
Oh, I hope we shall have time for a large breakfast.
I thought that large breakfasts were an English predilection.
When one is in France, one does as a Frenchman. When one is in Russia, one makes the most of every meal.
In case there should be a shortage of rations further along the way?
Mr. Blount, you have stated the case admirably. Driver, 10 kopecks if we reach the town before the tarantass ahead of us.
Thank you.
Do you men? The 22nd of July. Population, usually about 10,000. Now double that number. First industrial town established by the Russians in Siberia. Chief interest lies in the Bell Foundry, where some magnificent pieces of...
Sorry, old man. I thought you'd gone out.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Blunt. I have returned from my news-gathering expedition.
The news of the invasion is a little depressing, is it not?
Depends from which angle one views it. For the Russians, yes. For the correspondent, exciting is the word. We shall have news enough within the next few days, Mr. Blunt.
The telegraph station is still open. I was able to inform London that Fefor Khan's army is rapidly approaching the valley of the Ishim.
And I was able to confirm the report that the Tatar chief will shortly be joined by Colonel Ugarev.
If he has not done so already.
The Cossacks have not yet engaged the Tatars, it seems. Those from Tobolsk have been making forced marches towards Tomsk in the hope of cutting the Khan's route.
I hope that our friend Mr. Korpanov reaches Omsk before the Tatars. In any case, we should be in Ishim within 24 hours. After that, we shall see.
Yes, we shall see.
You're tired, Nadia?
Oh, a little. But mostly from the monotony of the scenery, I think. There's nothing to see except a white ribbon of road and the line of a telegraph.
We're on the steppe proper now. Imagine what it must be like in the winter.
I've been thinking of that. And imagining you with your horses and your sled moving like the wind across the plain. Someday I should like to make the journey.
Who knows? Perhaps someday you will.
Mr. Blunt and Mr. Jolivet are staying close behind us.
For the simple reason that they pay as high a tip as I do.
They are pleasant.
Nadia, see there ahead of us? Another vehicle preceding us into Ishim. We must pass him.
Oh, but why? Aren't we making good time?
Post horses will be scarce in Ishim, and I must be sure of fresh animals for the next stage.
Yes, I had not thought of that. How far are we from Ishim?
About 10 miles, I should think. Driver, a ruble if we pass the carriage ahead and win the race into Ishim.
Done!
Now we shall see.
Faster, driver, faster!
Forward, my swallows! Forward, my eagles!
Stop, I say!
Someone called you from the Berlin, Nicholas.
You'll have to go on more loudly than that to stop me now. Keep the matter, driver, and we'll be in Ishim by 8 o'clock.
Three fresh horses is all I have, Mr. Korpanov. Now, you're fortunate. The others have just come in. Worn out from a long stage.
Put them to. My sister and I leave within quarter of an hour.
It shall be done.
Well, Nadia, I think we should say goodbye to our friend.
I will come with you.
Come in. Ah, here is Mr. Jolivet.
And Mr. Blunt.
Well, you let us in merry dance into Ishim, Mr. Korpanov. How much did you tip the driver?
Enough to outdistance the Berlin we passed on the road. It was fortunate. There are only 3 fresh horses left in the post house.
Well, we shan't be going any further for the time, Mr. Korpanov.
Have you any news of the invasion?
Well, this town is itself menaced by the Tatar vanguard.
Oh.
And from all accounts, there isn't a soldier in Ishim.
The authorities have been obliged to retreat to Tobolsk.
Serious. Well, gentlemen, since you are to remain at Ishim, the time has come for us to separate.
Surely you'll stay for an hour.
I'm afraid I cannot indulge my fancy, Mr. Blunt. Also, I wish to leave the post house before the arrival of the traveler whom we passed.
Are you afraid that he will dispute the horses with you?
I particularly wish to avoid any difficulty.
Then, sir, it only remains for us to thank you for the service you rendered us and for the pleasure we've had in travelling in your company.
I echo Monsieur Jolivet's words. But it is possible that we shall meet you in a few days at Omsk.
It is possible, since I am going straight there.
Well, a safe journey and...
Is this the man?
Sir, I've told you there are no more fresh horses.
You there. Those horses harnessed to the tarantass outside, they're yours?
They are.
Take them out. I must have them. Come, be quick. I haven't any time to lose.
I have no time to lose either.
Ah, enough of this. Postmaster, take the horses from the tarantass and put them into my berlin.
But, sir, this man's already...
My horses will remain in my carriage.
So, you will not give up your horses to me?
No.
Very well, then they shall belong to whichever one of us is able to start. Defend yourself.
Nicholas.
I shall not fight.
You will not?
No.
Ah, then perhaps this will stir your courage. Now, will you fight?
The stranger has challenged Michael Strogoff by the greatest insult that can be given to an officer, that of striking him across the shoulder with a whip. But Michael, in his guise of peaceable merchant, dare not accept the challenge. What will he do? And who is the stranger? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, courier of the Tsar.